There is a town in Vermont that has the same...
Snow.
I'm sorry.
I can quote every single line of dialogue because it played on repeat at my house from Thanksgiving afternoon through Christmas Day.
Occasionally you host a podcast where everyone gets a reference except for
I'm
you.
I'm sorry that you have a sad
You've not seen White Christmas?
I've seen it like once.
Come on! Oh,
it's kind I'm of sorry. Racist. There's I know Terry is so. Crossing herself right now. I'm sorry.
It is a little, marginally problematic, but it is not as problematic as Holiday Inn, which what? Also has Bing Crosby. And
I think Holiday Inn is the one that's in my head. Is that where it's like, the families are like, In the inn.
I've never seen that
together
one.
Yeah. And like stuff.
Yeah,
and,
Holiday Inn has a pretty intense blackface scene, which is very upsetting. But Christmas is about some World War II vets 10 years on who are entertainers.
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
Delightful. My mom made us memorize the sisters' song when we were little because
Susan and Terry like to sing
problems.
That song.
That's correct.
So did Tammy and Amanda.
Oh, of course.
They're an average instrument.
Meanwhile, I sit in the corner and drink wine.
Did you know that Rosemary Clooney sang both parts?
Yes, I did know that.
Did you know that, what's her name that played the other sister, had such severe anorexia, that's why she's in a tall
yes,
neck the
I
whole
did
time?
Know that.
Have you seen her thighs?
She's so tiny. When she taps, I can't even deal.
Something tells me that this episode is not actually about White Christmas, though.
It's not, but I do love White Christmas.
Well, it's not.
I was just going to try to open with the fact that, like, in Vermont, there is a town...
called Stowe.
Well, Stowe is, like, a place I want to be and live and be forever. But, now there is a place in Vermont that is named Barnard, Vermont, that was founded in the exact same year that my father was born. So I got him a sweatshirt that says, like, Barnard, Vermont, established 1955.
That's very cute.
Just totally called out my father's age, but I think he's cool with it. Yes, and I told him that, like, since I'm getting a graduate degree, he should take me there to celebrate.
He absolutely should. That's your ancestral home.
Well, he told me that it's not because it's the Jewish side of our family, but it doesn't matter.
There's sharing is caring.
I'm pretty sure they're not actually related to us. I think it's just, like,
just
a same,
the same
name.
Last name thing.
Yeah, but, like, I'm willing to embrace that.
You should make it weird.
Weird as often as possible.
That's what you're going for.
But Amanda, would you like to maybe tell us about some
Amanda, would you
urban,
like to make
urban
it
legends?
I have.
Make it weirder?
I have a couple of things that I want to share with you today.
I think you're going to do your best.
I sure hope so.
So earnest.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about haunted houses, different haunted houses on this podcast. But the first one, the first topic I'm going to talk about is about a haunted house. It's in Vermont, obviously. It would be in Vermont. It was built in
1718. If this is the one I think it is, this is very appropriate for this time of year, at least the time of recording. I have no idea when this is going to actually air, but is it about problematic in-laws?
Yes.
Great. So this is relevant to our time period and holidays.
Yes. For reference point, we're recording this shortly before the holiday season, 2021. I know this airs like early.
To be exact, the day before Thanksgiving, just now.
I mean.
And
call space spade. But I think this airs, I don't have my calendar in front of me, but I think this airs like maybe
February-ish,
or maybe March.
Oh, yeah. So if you have a big family Valentine's Day party, this is a cautionary tale.
Or perhaps if you generally celebrate a really massive Patty's Day.
Yeah, there you go.
There are a lot
maybe
of Irish.
Who doesn't celebrate a massive
Honestly,
Patty's
yes.
Day?
So if you're our family.
Yeah.
Note to selves.
So this house was built in 1854, not 1584.
Great. Fine. Interchangeable.
Yeah, that's a big difference. But the story starts before the house itself ever existed. So
They built a house on some haunted ass land, is what I'm hearing.
Well, no, I have to give you some backstory on why.
You built this city on rock and roll.
So, and.
Did pave paradise to put up a parking lot?
I hate y'all. I love it so much. So, in the early 1800s, there was a man, William Hayden Sr., and his wife's name was Silence, first of all.
I love a Puritan name.
I was going to say at least she had a name, but
good
that don't
for her. No, I think it's
how
worse.
How dare you name your kids Silence?
What was that in, like, the first, like, not Grindelwald movie? Crap. The one with the really cute British guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Eddie Redmayne?
Yes, thank you. And like all the characters,
Fantastic
were like,
Beasts. They all have you. They all have these
prudence and modesty.
Yes, that's
God,
true.
God, it took me a long time to get there. I'm sorry.
Okay, so Silence. Silence had a mother.
Not Silence.
I don't like her mom. I'm gonna say
her name was Noisy.
Her name was not Noisy.
Her name was Speak Your Mind.
Her name,
voice.
Her name was Didn't Get a Say So.
I'm so mad editing this. I just need to know that.
So, okay.
Leave it in.
I leave it all in.
Yeah.
Leave it in. Ooh. Oh, hey.
I like it.
Weirdly, that made me want a Kit Kat.
Would you like to tell your story?
Yes.
Go on, Amanda. You're doing the best.
I understand now. This is very fun. As a listener, I did sometimes feel bad. Like, oh, poor Amanda's just out here doing her best. No. But this is fun because...
What
the listeners can't see is how cute Amanda is when she dies laughing in the middle of her story.
Because Amanda is a silent laugher, so Tammy and I go at it, and Amanda just giggles, but she's can't hear it. So it always sounds like we're kind of beating up on Amanda, but she's really like loving
it. I'm actually laughing. I swear I'm laughing.
I swear the pain isn't that bad.
Blink twice if you're not okay.
So, this family moved to Vermont, all right? William, Silence, the mother-in-law. Mercy Dale.
The mother-in-law.
Mercy Dale is the mother-in-law.
Oh,
moved
no.
to what is now Albany, Vermont. So, a little bit about William Henry Hayden Sr. He had a little bit of a tumultuous relationship with his mother-in-law. He was a bit of a party boy, very lavish, very extravagant lifestyle, was known to throw very fancy parties and spend a lot of money. And so Mercy, his mother-in-law, was a very wealthy widow.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to help the couple get on their feet, she ended up loaning them money.
Yeah. Subsidizing their lifestyle.
Pretty sizable chunk of change. Didn't tell me how much, but...
She didn't tell you.
I tried to contact her. No, I
you
did
were,
not.
You were
I
having
did not
a,
try to contact her.
You were
Please
having a
don't
journaling moment,
me.
And it came to you.
Amanda
you
with her candles and her seance.
I'm into it, though.
I was like, I could not find the bank statements, but...
But this is what happened.
What I had heard was...
So
what had happened was...
So basically, he spent all of the money on his parties and gambling and... All the things, right?
Typical.
And he never repaid her.
Rude.
So she kind of started getting a little frustrated. Well, then she started, like, slowly getting ill.
Great.
This is Mercy.
This is the mother-in-law. And she's convinced that old William Henry Hayden Sr. was poisoning her. So, on her deathbed...
This is some Sixth Sense stuff.
Yeah. On her deathbed, she stated, with her daughter by her side, "The Hayden name will die in the third generation, and the last to bear the name shall die in poverty."
Oh, gracious.
So she hated the Hayden so much that she decided, before she died...
Wait, this is her child?
This is her child's husband.
Her son-in-law.
She named her child Silence, so we can probably infer... Although, I will say, like, all I've ever wanted also, in addition to, like... coming into somewhere and sweeping everything off a desk and, like, having a plan or a rolling whiteboard. All I've ever wanted is pronounce a deathbed curse, honestly.
Oh, gosh.
To the seventh son of the seventh son.
Mm. Oh, God. Such a myriad of
Listen, I'm a gothic horror story, is what it is. That's all it is.
You are a proper Victorian woman.
Girl, I faint all the time. I need to lay down in a quiet room mm-hmm. after being disturbed.
Mm-hmm. I expect to see you sitting like in a like really appropriate drawing room, sipping tea and just like
yes.
with the vapors.
I have the vapors yeah. now, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do too, sort of, actually, after this story, so go on.
Mother-in-laws are scary.
Mother-in-laws can be scary. Mine's yeah.
lovely.
So after William had...
She listens, by the way.
Hi, Rose.
Hey, Rose.
Hey, Rosie. Hi. After Hayden died, Hayden Sr. died, his son built the house, the Hayden mansion that is now the haunted, dilapidated...
Haunted house.
Yes, thank you.
Just across the street there.
The one that looks.
I mean, Fiona asked me today if we could go trick or treating at that house. I was like, "Boo, no! You're gonna die.
That's how you get. Caught.
That's how you die." Mm-mm. Okay, so William Henry Hayden Jr. and his wife also lived a very privileged lifestyle.
Apparently,
they had this massive mansion. This. Multiple barns, several servants, very extravagant parties. There are some sources that say the house was primarily used for bootlegging and smuggling Chinese people illegally for slave labor. So that's where the story kind of gets dark.
This is some Gatsby stuff.
You've taken a turn.
Right.
Great.
Right. So, they had many children. I think there were five total, but only one survived into adulthood. They all died of different illnesses, different accidents. I didn't have it listed, but...
Back before there were vaccines.
Right, exactly. So, I lost my place. Henry, was the last of the Hayden name to live in the Hayden mansion, and Henry was William Hayden, Henry Hayden's junior son.
I can't handle you saying his name one more time, it's too long.
Well, it's like William Henry Hayden had the nerve to be married to somebody named Silence.
Yeah, like, right. Thank you.
It's terrible.
Does that make her Silence Henry Hayden or no?
Silence Hayden.
I don't like that.
That's creepy.
It doesn't work.
I wish she was a vengeful ghost.
It said that all that was left of his inheritance was a disgraced family name and quite a number of unpaid debts.
Listen.
So that was the last. Hayden to like
because she this, had cursed him
because she had cursed her son-in-law mm-hmm. his grandson was the last of the Haydens
okay
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so he was indeed penniless
yeah
like she predicted
and he was indeed
so he penniless. Like fulfilled her mm-hmm. curse
yeah mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So don't mess with Silence is the moral of the story
don't no, mess with Silence's
mom it was
Mercy mom.
It was Silence's
mercy,
mom
Mercy that's right
yes. Although like honestly your kid is mixed in there like I don't understand how you curse like your own daughter's child that's weird.
Yeah that's not very
maybe
nice
maybe you really really dislike your son-in-law
but like maybe boundaries mom
well I don't
that's
know
true.
Like the
again let's go back to she named her daughter Silence
that's true
I don't know that the ancestors were good at boundaries.
Like, what kind of future are you setting up for your kid when you name her Silence from the womb?
Mm-hmm. That's not wrong.
It's rude.
That's not wrong.
Because yeah. we have some fabulous ancestors, but I don't know that they did boundaries well. Like, if we're just, like, calling a spade a spade.
Right. I think we're trying to learn boundaries as
say,
a generation.
We're still not even ready
at that now. okay.
Not sure they even knew that word.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So there is some ghostly activity on the property. A woman named Helen lived in the house during the 1950s when she was a child.
They prefer apparitions.
I think I have apparition in here somewhere, actually. That's funny
like
you say that.
The 50s are also a scary time.
I feel like you're not wrong. Like, a lot of sketchy stuff happened.
Some sort of nuclear bomb ghosts and just general
yeah.
Stepfordness.
Yeah.
General
hand diving. That's a lot.
I don't trust the 50s.
She reported that while she lived at the house, fires would start on their own. Like,
yeah, no,
suddenly
the,
happened.
The casual spontaneous combustion. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Her
we
mother.
Call that Tuesday.
But it's useful in the winter.
That's not wrong.
You don't want to be too cold.
Her mother has reported seeing ghosts twice, or ghostly activity twice. So at one point, she was babysitting a child.
Sorry, whose mother?
Helen, who lives
in
the house.
Helen lived there in the 50s.
Oh, okay. So we're past Silence and Mercy now.
Yes, we're past them. They died. Oh. Their family is in ruin.
Oh, a whole other family.
This is the haunted house. Yes.
Okay, got it.
I feel like I want to see a ghost too bad and they don't come to me. Right? Like, I want it too much so they won't come show themselves to me.
Fair.
Like, you need to...
I'd like to introduce you to Jody.
Are Jody and I the same in this way? Like, does he also want to see a ghost so bad? Oh,
badly. And I think he walks too close. I have completely jumped in the middle of Amanda's story that she's desperately trying to finish a little better. But, like, I think he walks too close to death on the regular.
That's fair.
And also wants to see it, that, like, he can't. Like, Mom and I can sense it, hear it, feel it. We don't ever really see it, but, like,
but you know the other there. Senses. Yeah.
Like, we can kind of tiptoe around it, and Dad, like, you want to be safe from ghosts, just have Jody go with you.
That's fair.
Fair. I need Jody with me at all times.
Yeah, I think
at all times.
You do. You're not ready for any close encounters.
So, I agree. Yeah. So this woman apparently saw a ghost once. Looked like Abraham Lincoln. Dressed like him, top hat and all.
Was he checking out a book at the library?
Oh my God. Was John Wilkes Booth there?
It wasn't me. I didn't do it.
Kyle's listening to this and throwing things at him.
Hey, Kyle. We love K-Fam.
We do. We do. It's true.
K-Fam Stan.
No, to my knowledge, he was not checking out a library book, but you never know.
You don't. He was a big reader, I hear.
So she saw him, and then apparently one of the big things in that house is... hearing music,
creepy, tinkly piano music?
Yeah,
old
party music.
Like 20s music?
Yes.
Nope. Oh, yeah. It's just so pretty.
The beginning of the new Gatsby, I say new, like it just came out, but the Great Gatsby. With Leonardo DiCaprio. They have a little, like, tinkling Victrola moment at the beginning, and it honestly is almost too much for me. Luckily, it's short, because I can't take it.
Yeah, no, that... It's creepy.
They were a different breed of people. They used lead-lined makeup. They're not... Yes. They're stronger than us, and I think it scares me.
The Shining?
That's what I was just thinking about.
I cannot... Like, my body physically tenses when I think about when he's in the bar and the
mask.
Don't you dare. Like, you keep that on.
Mm-hmm. Bye. So she heard music from upstairs. This is the woman that lived there in the 50s. She heard music from upstairs, and when she went to go upstairs, it suddenly stopped. This is like multiple people.
Why are we going upstairs? It is not your business.
Right, exactly. Like, leave it be. Leave it be, please.
It's not for us to know.
So then there's also odd light activity reported. Mm-hmm. And you know how I told you guys about the Chinese people, the Chinese that were illegally brought in and sold and whatnot. Well, there's like lots of unmarked graves around the property, like by the barns. Mm-mm. So they think that, you know, they're there. They're trying to communicate, you know.
Anyways, unhappy. As you would be.
As you would be. Absolutely. So that is...
That's tough.
So the mansion itself is still there. It looks really creepy. Not gonna lie. It looks like a creepy old house. But the estate itself has been sold off into like bits parcels. And pieces. Yeah. So it's just the house now, but it is still standing and you can see it.
Are we getting the pictures on the Instagram?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gross.
It's the Hayden House.
So I think the takeaway this holiday season is try to make nice with your in-laws so that they don't curse you.
So they don't curse you and your grandchildren. Okay. So the second part of this... Part of my episode.
Oh, wait, you just folded your notes and put them away, and I thought you were done.
No, I'm not
done.
She did
very dramatically put her notes away.
I honestly needed that to be folded up and put away. It's too many elements that make me upset.
There's a lot going on there.
Fair. It's just one of your typical haunted houses that have a dark and creepy past.
Just a casual salt over your shoulder episode.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So, okay, the frozen people of Vermont. I need to tell you about the frozen people of Vermont.
I I need to hear
about the need to tell you.
I'm fine, thanks.
Vermont is my place. Like, I want to move there tomorrow, so I need to know what I'm walking into.
Well,
where can we find a compound space?
Haunted no, mother-in-laws I, and frozen people, apparently.
I think that we
that means
need
cheap
to
real
buy,
estate is what I'm hearing.
I think that we need to buy, like, an inn.
Yeah.
That we can all, like, you know, like, do, like, our shifts and our days and, like, family, like, you know,
only if
dinners.
I can be, like, the Saturday night performer.
Like the Rosebud?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. But,
you
like,
could definitely
classier.
Be the Saturday night performer.
I tried to pitch this to my mother and my aunts, and, like, Mary...
I can turn the bar.
...was like, yes, because I want to get out of Texas immediately. Yes, I'll
fair.
Go.
Don't we all.
And Susan straight up was like, well... I don't have the money to pitch in, so I think that I should clean the rooms for my
girl.
My payment.
No,
I was like,
Susan should be customer service.
Yeah, I was like,
I want to hear her solving people's problems.
First of all, you're going really granular on a like a fictitious like thing. Like you're
it's real to me.
Well, I think it was real to her too, but I was like, you're going like really in depth. Like right now, we're just going like, hey, we should all get out of Texas. We should go to Vermont.
I'm in immediately.
But I would love nothing more than like Susan working front desk mm-hmm. and like, oh, I'm so sorry that you just showed up, and didn't have a reservation. But like, why don't you tell me your story?
Listen, mom's
and
like,
I'll see if I can find something for you.
Are you down to party? Because if you're down to party, then you can stay.
Honestly,
if you're
you can
bored,
stay in
then you can just find somewhere else.
That's
and
fair.
Here's Susan half lit and going, I think, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, I think we can pull that off.
I am in love with this idea.
Uh-huh.
As long as we live in, like, some sort of cul-de-sac.
Obviously.
Adjacent
yes.
to the property.
Yeah, no, definitely.
With houses connected, like, with pools with mm-hmm. the lazy river that go mm-hmm. across all the backyards. And the children can just roam as ferals.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Feral children is kind of where it's at. I pitched this to Kevin and he goes, what can I do off property?
Kevin doesn't have imagination, honestly.
Yeah, he can be a fireman.
That's what I said.
But
he
also,
can be a nurse.
He can
and
fix
we can
things.
Just run it in.
He
right.
could be a handyman, the head of maintenance.
Yeah, but he's specifically looking for off-property.
Well, fine. He can be a firefighter then. Whatever. Go save lives, I guess. Lame.
I think he was kind of like, I'll show up when I need to show up, but I'm not really about this.
That's so lame. This could be so successful.
You're a drama
hang
dream.
Out with Terrence full-time. He'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Terrence
could, would be.
Can you imagine Terrence doing, like, the local color and hiking tours? Right? Like, telling people about the Hayden monster and Llama and, like, all of this stuff and, like, doing hikes in the woods. That would be... Honestly, that would be the Lord's work for him.
I told Terrence once. I was like, I'm trying to slow sell Tammy on, like, moving to New England.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, all of us moving, like, as a group. And he goes, well, I said, like, I want us all to be, like, in Stars Hollow, like, on Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, that's fine. There's too many white people.
That is fair. But
yeah, his number one question is, do they like black people there?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We could have a diversified Stars Hollow. We could make it better than
sure.
Stars Hollow ever dreamed about being.
Well, and he kind of loves Stars Hollow. He's just like, they just need more color there. And
listen.
I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not mad about that.
I feel like...
Because he loves him some Lauren Graham. Does he not love some Lauren Graham?
He does love
some Lauren Graham.
How does he feel about Halloween? Because when we were in Maine, they were losing their minds.
Mm-hmm.
So...
He has mixed feelings about Halloween.
Oh.
That's because Terrence tiptoes on that veil between
that's
the
fair.
Worlds.
He seems
yeah,
very
that's true.
Open.
I feel like he likes some spooky stuff, like, for entertainment value, but, like, he's not that interested because he actually, like,
it gets
dances.
Too real. Mm-hmm.
He dances too close
mm-hmm.
to the veil.
I think he only likes things that are too real
mm-hmm.
is more the problem.
Mm.
Okay, focus, ladies. We're talking about
sorry.
Frozen people.
I'm sorry, were we doing a podcast episode?
Yes,
here?
We were doing a podcast episode.
I kind of feel like Terrence listens to this episode and he's like, y'all are all so stupid.
Terrence, we're going to New England. Get in. We're going to New England.
Amanda, we're definitely getting a group chat that he immediately leaves after starting.
He's going to drop
yes.
one meme and then leave.
Yeah, he sends one message and exits. Amanda, what are we doing in Vermont?
Frozen
so
people.
We're trying to talk about frozen people.
Tell us
oh,
about
yeah.
them. I want
all right.
to hear
what I'm
trying to avoid.
That's what you're trying to avoid. So I was going to start, I was going to just read you this diary, but I think this episode will be far too long if I do that. But in summary, this man...
We're only at 20 minutes, you're fine. Amanda, I think longer the better.
Okay, well then, here we go. Hold on to your butts, we're going to hear a journal entry. So this is coming from a story by Wesley Griswold from Mischief in the Mountains.
Nope.
Published in 1970.
Oh, I'm here for it.
Excuse me.
Emphysema.
Emphysema. So this is January 7th. I went on the mountain today and witnessed what was to me a horrible sight. Mm-hmm. It seemed that the dwellers there who are unable, either from age or other reasons, to contribute to the support of their families mm-hmm. are disposed of in the winter months in a manner that will shock the one who reads this diary.
Wow.
All right. Unless shocked? That person lives in that vicinity. I did feel shocked. I felt very shocked.
I already don't like it, I'm going to say.
So, 6 persons, mm-hmm. 4 men and 2 women. Mm-hmm. One man was crippled, and then the other were past the age of usefulness.
Oh, Jesus.
This already has some, like, Dyatlov's Pass.
Honestly.
Dyatlov's Pass? Yes, God.
I sort of feel like that about many men, though, right?
What is the age of usefulness? Yeah. It's a small window, because they don't fully mature until 40.
Right. It's not wrong. My husband just turned 40, and I find him charming.
Okay, so they lay on the earthly floor of the cabin, drugged into insensibility, while members of the family were gathered about them in apparent indifference.
We call that Friday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All I've ever wanted to be is insensate on a floor.
In a short time, the unconscious bodies were inspected by several old people who said, they're ready.
Why did you say several old people?
That's because that's what I'm reading a journal entry. I told you guys.
I want to be a village elder.
I meant, why did they say several old people?
I want to be a village elder who does this.
So
he's ready.
He's ready. They were then stripped.
You're equipped for that.
Y'all, no, you're not ready. You're not ready.
I don't think I am.
They were then stripped of all their clothing except a single garment. Then the bodies were carried outside, laid on logs exposed to the bitter mountain cold air, the operation having been delayed several days for suitable weather. So
they had to wait until
it was cold enough.
And they sent them outside in a nightie.
So it was night when the bodies were carried out, and the full moon, occasionally obscured by flying clouds, shone on their upturned ghastly faces, and a horrible fascination kept me by the bodies as long as I was able to endure the severe cold.
What is this story?
Well.
So wait, so they just say, hey, man, you are no longer useful. So we're going to take you up a mountain and make you freeze to death of exposure.
Freeze.
I don't actually hate this plan.
Okay, so in about an hour, I went and looked at all the bodies, and they were fast freezing. I could not shut out.
Wait, were these bodies dead before? Or
no, they girl, were they're drugged. Just laying outside.
Oh,
they're just right. off their heavily rockers.
Drugged. Heavily drugged.
Yeah. I hope they're having a good time.
This is unfortunate.
They had a lot of red water.
I think it was something stronger than red water.
Solid nap outside after. Listen.
So, yes. And so one of the women told him, basically, come back in May and see what happens. Because blah, 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 he was horrified
yes.
about what was to come. Like,
see what happens?
See what happens.
I don't want to see what happens.
So they need more help in the spring because they're a family of farmers. I forgot to tell you this. Uh-huh. So they're a family of farmers. They need more help in the spring to plant and whatnot.
Do but farm things.
They don't have enough food during the winter to sustain everybody.
Farm. Oh my god. I'm going from Dyatlov's Pass to fried green tomatoes in my head. I don't like this
cereal. That is an uncomfortable mashup.
That's not nice. So this is the entry from May 10th. The men commenced work at once, some shoveling away the snow and others tearing away the brush. Soon the box was visible, the box where the bodies were. The cover was taken off and the layers of straw removed, and the frozen, apparently lifeless bodies lifted out and laid on the snow. Large troughs of hemlock logs were placed nearby, filled with tepid water.
Hold on, hemlock comes in logs?
That's what it says.
Oh, do you buy it separately?
Where do you get your hemlock?
Flower, right? Tell me more about how you buy your hemlock.
Well, presumably it comes from a bush, right? Maybe it's that?
As you say.
Is it wrapped around the logs?
I don't know.
We have questions.
This story is stressing.
Are those things going to come back to life? Because I'm not going to be okay.
I'm not okay now.
They are coming back to life. They are coming back to life.
It's some Midsommar bullshit.
Hemlock.
Sorry.
What did you say?
We don't say that word. I'm so sorry. Cut right here. And go.
Oh, yeah, no, thank you. That makes the editing so much easier.
You're welcome.
Except now you've talked over it.
After lying in this bath for about an hour, the color began to return to the bodies.
No!
When all hands began rubbing and chafing them, they were trying to make them warm so they would wake up.
People are rubbing cadavers.
People are rubbing cadavers, waking them up.
They can't do that. Not just rubbing, but they're also chafing.
Well, right.
Whoa, why?
No, don't say chafing.
Here's what they just said. They need some Gold Bond. And or a lotion.
Y'all told me I could read my journal entry. I'm just reading the journal entry.
I didn't know what this person was going to say. I'm upset, and I don't like it.
My favorite game is how we always tell Amanda to do a thing and then never let her do the thing.
Because what is this radar you have for the most upsetting stories that I've ever heard in my life?
It's true.
Oh, no. Texas was way worse.
I'm sorry. Did we chafe any dead bodies back to life in Texas? No, we did not.
No, I just spooked you to the fact that you can't sleep.
To do farm work.
Well, so now the bodies have come back to life.
And what do they do? Are they just like mindless?
They're just like, no. They're just like, farm workers? Oh, here's me. Like, thanks for the sleep.
Tim was just casual winter's nap.
I was telling Tim. Tim asked me about. He was like, "Tell me a little bit about Vermont."
No.
So I told him.
Tim is so sweet to be interested. Kevin's like, "What do you do all day?" I don't know.
He was like, "That can't be real." And I was like, "Well, this is an urban legend podcast." So he was like,
"So it is
right, right? Got it." So it absolutely could be real.
I'm upset.
No. I'm delighted.
So they're just like, you guys are useless eaters in the winter. So have a snow nap.
Basically.
We'll wake you back up when we need some basic menial labor in the spring.
And now we've come full circle to Encino Man in my head, and I'm not even sure what the story was about. But lots of things have happened. I can't wait to listen back to this episode.
Oh, God.
This has been a journey.
Yeah.
I'm mad.
So, what do you have to add? I'm ready for whatever you have to add.
Honestly, can I jump in, though? Because
I
feel like this is an appropriate time to mention that I always felt like bears had, like, the best, like, arrangement.
I can't wait until you finish the sentence. Bears have the best arrangement.
Because they just, like, sleep.
They actually don't. So here's a place where I can. I'm
so
sorry.
They're actually frozen solid.
I'm gonna be the well actually
and
person.
Run with him long
Listen,
lungs.
Bears actually do not hibernate. They go into a state called torpor, which I'm into. And also, I saw a video on Reddit of a grizzly bear running, and they have no business moving that fast. I was very affected by the footage. If you ever think you can outrun a grizzly bear, you are incorrect. Because there was somebody in a car going like 40 or 50 miles an hour, and the bear was like keeping pace with them, and I am upset. They are big fat, and they do not need to move that fast. So, I like torpor as much as anybody else, though. I will say that. That is a good arrangement.
I just love this idea that it's like, it's cold, it's dark.
And I want to be snuggly.
I want to sleep for a while.
But I want to read, too. I don't want to be asleep the whole time. I want to be cozy and read.
I just want to be, like, sequestered alone and, like, left alone.
Right. So
for, like, a minute.
Again, agoraphobia, my preferred lifestyle. I feel like it's catching.
But I'm not agoraphobic at all. I'm way too extroverted.
I feel like you could be. We could if we move to a thing. But here's the thing. At the top of this episode, I was into moving to Vermont, and now I'm upset. And I don't know that I can.
I don't know what they get up to in Vermont.
I have some questions. So
we might have to revisit.
My particular story here is actually about the Bennington Triangle, which I got from a website called obscurevermont.com.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
This person is a map and cartography enthusiast.
Okay.
And the first part of the story is a bunch of stuff about how there's this town of Glastonbury that, like, doesn't exist on maps anymore. It's a ghost town. It was, like, one of those typical sort of frontiersy kind of towns that just did all the things and mined and strip mined, and then there was erosion and all this stuff, and anyways, nobody lives there anymore. But because that is boring. Cartography is lame. So we're going to talk about the Bennington Triangle, which is the legends surrounding this area that was Glastonbury Town and Glastonbury Mountain. So Glastonbury Mountain and the surrounding area has long been considered one of Vermont's most haunted places. In 1992, local author and folklorist, by the way, this is what I want my eventual title to be. I want to be local author and folklorist. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Joseph Citro coined the term the Bennington Triangle to describe the area. So what happens in the Bennington Triangle? It started with the Native Americans, the indigenous peoples, who refused to venture into the Glastonbury Mountains, fearing that the land was cursed. They only used it to bury their dead, which honestly, yes, that is enough information for me to be like, look, yo, I don't need to touch the coffee pot to know that it's hot. I will trust you.
Right.
So there's also a crosswind that met on the summit of the mountain. So it's like a very volatile in the weather kind of sense area of Vermont. Even today, hunters will tell you that because of the winds that are disorienting, it's very easy to get lost in the woods. Mixed into this is also a legend of some sort of enchanted stone somewhere in the mountains, which is said to open up and swallow a human being in seconds if it is stepped on, which was another reason why they typically avoided the mountain, because it was just like, this is 99 problems and I don't need to have it.
No, yes,
so correct. Colonial settlers come into the area. They have vague, unresearchable counts of weird noises, sounds, odors that came from the mountain. In 1867, there was an alleged wild man sighting where a mysterious misanthropic specter, which is how I hope I'm described someday, ventured down from the woods. Some accounts say he lived in a cave. This is gross. I'm sorry, I didn't issue a trigger warning before this. So if you don't like the male anatomy, skip ahead 15 seconds. He would pull back his coat and expose himself to unsuspecting women in Glastonbury and nearby Bennington. And I will say that an unsolicited penis is the worst thing that you can ever see.
Agreed.
Not a fan.
He was also said to brandish a revolver as if he needed more like ways to be threatening.
Oh yeah.
Let's
be extra aggressive.
Whoever he was, eventually stories stopped cropping up, so he sort of faded into obscurity. On April 4th, 1892, Fayville, which is a nearby little town, mill worker Henry McDowell went, this person calls it, quote, haywire, and murdered John Crowley by bashing him in the head with either a piece of wood or a rock, depending on the story. He was babbling about voices in his head that wouldn't leave him alone, and as a result, he was sentenced to the Vermont State Asylum in Waterbury, which is probably full of its own horrors, being honest.
Yeah.
But he escaped by hiding in a railroad car, carrying a load of coal, never to be seen again. Some say he returned to Glastonbury. Others claim he still remains hiding on the slopes to this very day. Let's see.
Great.
So, Glastonbury, the city, I mean, there were some murders, there was some environmental issues, so it starts to decline. But as the city declines and its population decreases, it gets this reputation as a haunted place. And that is because of a story of a stagecoach full of passengers that were making their way over the mountains near Glastonbury, near present-day Route 9 in Woodford. It was past dark. There was a violent rainstorm that was washing out the road. The rain was coming down so hard, it forced the driver to slow down to a crawl as the thunder crackled and all that. Things became so bad, the driver eventually came to a complete stop in the dark and wet mountains. He hopped down with his lantern to get a good idea of the situation. He noticed something peculiar.
Uh-oh.
Illuminated by lantern light. There were unfamiliar footprints in the mud just ahead of him. And because it was a heavy rain, the fact that the footprints had not been washed away by rain yet, the driver thought, okay, these must be fresh tracks.
Right.
Then the horses start to get spooky. So it's like, okay, so whatever made these tracks is still here somewhere.
Right.
Which is not a great feeling. So in my mind, my imagining of the situation, I hope that the driver was something like, hey guys, do you maybe just want to maybe like step out of the carriage for like 5 seconds? Like, he's trying to get the people out, but like also not cause a panic. But while they're beginning to step out of the coach, something dealt a savage blow to the side of the carriage.
Oh.
So now they're all running out. They're scared to death. The blows kept coming and then the whole thing tumbled over. So whatever this thing was, it tumbled over this stagecoach. So they huddled together in the dark, and then the creature came into view. It was dark and hard to see, but they made out two large eyes that they described as roughly 8 feet tall and hairy. And then it shambled back into the woods. So it just came out and was like, absolutely not. You will not cross my road. Knocked over their apple cart. Bye. And just looked at them like, how very dare you? And went back in.
How very dare you?
I'll get you, but I'm not going to work for it.
Right. So shortly after that, whatever it was called the Bennington Monster. Hmm. So some people speculate that the Bennington Monster is actually a transformation of the Glastonbury Wild Man, Mr. Okay. Exposer, who was chased out of the region and then had this extended time in, like, the backwoods and the bush and just sort of became this, like, insane mm-hmm. kind of creature who just attacked everything that came along. But that's not the only thing that's weird that happened in the Bennington Triangle.
Oh.
Giant hairy monsters are great. Super scary. We're into them. But they also have a series of strange disappearances.
Oh, no.
So, beginning in the last cold months of 1945, which is not all that long ago, people from the area began to vanish without a trace.
Mm.
So the first person to disappear was 74-year-old Mitty Rivers, which is a weird name, but...
I don't think I like the fact that the first person to vanish was
74.
In her 70s, yeah.
It's a him, and yes, that is terrible.
Or him.
He was native to the area. He was a hunting and fishing guide. He was completely familiar with the woods. One day, he led four hunters up to the mountain. Things were going fine. They started to trek back to the camp. He got a bit ahead of the group and vanished completely.
Oh, boy.
Everybody just expected they would catch up with him. Like, oh, he just got ahead of us. But then they panicked when they didn't see him at their campsite when they got there. So police and a group of volunteers combed the area for hours. He was an experienced woodsman, so they were fairly confident he would turn up and they would find him, but they searched for over a month and no trace was ever found.
Oh, gosh. Yikes.
Local lore has it that Rivers disappeared near Bickford Hollow, which is the same place where a murder happened earlier in the town's kind of pioneery sort of mm-hmm. history. The next person to vanish is the most infamous of all of the Bennington Triangle disappearances. On December 1st, 1946, 18-year-old Paula Weldon decided to take a hike on the Long Trail. She left her dorm room at Bennington College. She walked into the woods because she was easy to spot because she wore a bright red coat.
Mm.
Plenty of people saw her that day, including people who saw her on the trail. Monday came and she didn't come to class.
Mm-hmm.
The college called the sheriff's department. 400 students and faculty members joined to look for her in the woods. Eventually, a search party of over 1,000 people, bloodhounds, helicopters, and even a clairvoyant combed the area diligently for weeks. There was a $5,000 reward, but on December 22nd, all efforts came to an end. There was no body, no clothes, no evidence, nothing. The quality of Paula Weldon's search party was met with scrutiny, and because of this, it led to the formation of the Vermont State Police. To this day, there are people who think that it is extremely bad luck to wear red while hiking near Glastonbury Mountain.
Okay, good to know.
This also extends to the third person to disappear, which was on Columbus Day in 1950. Again, 50s, super scary time.
Yeah.
8-year-old Paul Jepson was waiting for his mother in the family's pickup truck. And this is actually kind of terrible. In the dump that they were caretakers for.
Okay.
When she came back, he was gone. Like Paula Weldon, he was wearing a red jacket. So he should have been easy to spot, but nobody could find him anywhere.
Mm.
Same thing. They did a big manhunt. Hundreds of people joined. Bloodhounds, blah, 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 blah. Local lore states that Paul's scent was lost at the same place that Paula Weldon was last seen.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
After the search had been called off, Paul's father disclosed a peculiar piece of information. That was that Paul had mentioned he had an inexplicable urge to go into the mountains. Like, he couldn't explain it, but he just, like, felt like he was called to the mountains. Mm-hmm. So he was the third person to go missing in roughly the same area. Some non-believers speculate that so there were pigs on the property where mm-hmm. the dump was. So mm-hmm. they speculate that he wandered off and maybe the pigs were responsible. The wild pigs were responsible for his disappearance yeah. and death. Others speculate he was maybe actually abducted near that road, the crossroads of East and Chapel Roads, where Paula was last seen. And he was carried away in a car, which is why his scent
mm-hmm.
lingered. But we'll never know for sure. So there were multiple additional disappearances throughout the 40s and 50s. And these are just considered to be accepted as proof of paranormal happenings because mm-hmm. people just disappeared without a trace. Let's see. Sorry. So what we do know is there were 9 victims in total. Their ages ranged between 8 and 74. They were evenly divided between men and women. The time is also a pattern here. Disappearances all happen during the same time of the year, the last 3 months of the year. So right now when we're recording. Oh, good. many of them were last seen between 3 and 4 p.m. The rest is up for debate. So the task of finding a body in the wilderness is very difficult because it's a very remote area of Vermont. The conditions are unpredictable and heavily bound to weather. Let's see. So there's a variety of reasons of speculated, right? The Bennington Monster, is the Bennington Monster still stalking the slopes, carrying its victims away somewhere up on the mountain? Recently as 2003, Ray Dufresne saw something peculiar on his drive down Route 7 near Glastonbury. What he first thought was a homeless man stumbling around in a snowsuit turned into an alleged Bigfoot sighting upon closer look. The story blew up and was actually even picked up by local news stations. Some people dismissed it as a prankster in a gorilla suit, while others aren't buying it, and they're just chalking it up to the increasingly odd activities mm-hmm. that happen near the Bennington area. Alien abduction is another hypothesis. Many results of UFO sightings and strange lights have been spotted over the Glastonbury wilderness. But here's the part that I think is the most upsetting, and that is, in case you weren't upset enough, there are these ancient stone cairns nearby. So there's a series of inexplicable cairns scattered around the mountain, and no one is quite sure why they exist. There are theories as to why they're there. Some of them are farmers built them long ago while clearing the pastures, or several hikers built them to act as beacons in bad weather, but nothing adds up. They were built at high elevation where farming never took place. Most of them are located miles away from the long trail in heavily forest areas. So what are they? Some people think maybe they're works of art of the Bennington Monster. Hmm. Or playful hikers. I don't know why you want to be playful in this area. This is not a place to be playful. But there's just giant piles of stone that look in some way ceremonial all over this mountain, and nobody knows why they're there.
That is...
Somebody's playing Legos.
Yeah. So...
Like, you see that on hikes sometimes, but not like... You know, like the flat rocks that are stacked.
Right.
But not...
Yeah, this looks like some sort of ceremony that just nobody knows what it is. Which is real creepy. Very upsetting.
Sounds
like an episode of Bridgewater.
It does a little bit. So today there are about 8 residents that choose to live in this area. They love its obscurity. They say there are no other towns quite like this in the Northeast.
So that's probably true.
There are several people who are not enthusiastic about the town's reputation.
Imagine.
So skeptical people will be quick to assure you everything has a perfectly logical explanation, but most people are in the skeptical camp. So... because there were all these disappearances, of course, the media ran wild. Some skeptics are saying all of this is exaggerated. There's numerous things that could have happened to the hikers. But at the end of the day, all of it is very unexplained. It's just like this is another, like, the Bridgewater Triangle area where there's just high strangeness happening.
Yeah.
And people who just don't understand. And I am going to say, any place where an indigenous person says, I'm not going to go there, I think I'm just going
to
believe them.
I am with you. Listen to them 100%.
Fair. So there you go. That is the Bennington Triangle in Vermont. Can I interest you in a compound in any other state?
I kind of still want to go to Vermont. Is that wrong?
Thanks for listening to Salt Over Your Shoulder,
a Redwater production.
We appreciate your support. Your download allowed our crazy idea to gain steam and make it into your podcast directories.
We couldn't do this without you. If you'd like to continue your support, you can engage with us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at SaltThePod, or follow us on Facebook at Salt Over Your Shoulder. You can also email us at saltoveryourshoulder@gmail.com.
Special thanks to the one and only Andrew York for our awesome graphic.
If you'd like to continue your support, please consider giving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast directory. This helps other people find us as well.
You can also become one of our patrons at patreon.com/saltthepod.
See you next time.